Hello, listeners. I'm Bala, and welcome to my podcast, Great Minds, a podcast from Frisco, Texas. The greatness of a man is not how much wealth he acquires, but in his integrity and his ability to affect those around him positively. Quoted by Jamaican singer Bob Marley. Today, my guest is Susan Thomas, Chief Executive Officer and founder of Taking Care of Business Concierge Service, and a fellow Toastmaster and a friend forever. Please join me in welcoming Susan Thomas for our show. Hello, Susan. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good afternoon.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
That's wonderful to know, Susan. Now, let's get to know more about you. Tell us about yourself, the city you grew up, your family, and your interest.
Okay, let's start with, I am a native New Yorker. I grew up in New Rochelle, New York, which is now known for where the pandemic virus started. But when I was a little girl, it was like the most beautiful place to encounter all nationalities. My city, New Rochelle, New York, was one of the cities that most of the people from the United Nations, when they came over to America or came to our United States, they lived in New Rochelle, New York, because it was very suburban, and it's only by train 20 minutes into New York City. I am a sister, a auntie, and a daughter. I have seven siblings, well, really six, seven including me, a blended family, but I was raised in a single parent home until I was 10 years old. I love my brothers and sisters, and I have so much fun and a lot of memories growing up with friends and family in New Rochelle, New York. That's me.
Great to know, Susan. So it seems you have a very strong historic background from the city that you grew up. And you also mentioned that's where the pandemic, the coronavirus pandemic started. Have you visited after the pandemic? What is your viewpoint now?
I have not been home since the pandemic because New York is on strict lockdowns. I live in Texas, and you know, our governor has opened everything up. But New York has been more stringent on opening things up. But I do get to travel home for Labor Day. Great. And I just set up meetings to be able to see my mom. She's in a nursing home in New York. And so I get to see her every day that I'm home. So I'm very excited about this trip.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well. You were talking about your sisters, you know, siblings, your parents. How about Gia? How naughty is she?
For those of y'all listening in, Gia is my Maltese pooch. She's 8 years old. She was given to me on my 50th birthday by a group of people that love me very much, and I love them. And I wanted a dog for my 50th birthday. So they gave me a Maltese. She is the sweetest dog. Voila, I don't know if she's naughty, but the only thing that I can say that if I am away from her too long or my days are too busy and I'm not paying her any attention, there's two things that she does. And she really has elevated this during the pandemic because, you know, we've been home for so much. Mm-hmm. But most of our Toastmasters meetings have been online. Well, in a Toastmasters meeting, you know you're supposed to mute until you're ready to speak. Mm-hmm. So most of the time she doesn't hear me speaking, but she hears other people. So she has to jump on my lap and get in front of the camera to see who's talking. And it is the cutest thing. And sometimes it's annoying because I know people are like, why is she showing her dog? But it helps her not bark if she gets to see the people's voices that she's hearing. And then another thing that she does that's kind of naughty is that if I am gone too long or not paying her too much attention or really just having a lot of late night hours, I will come home and she has pottied somewhere she should not have. Mm-hmm. She is a house trained dog, so she's pad trained and she goes outside. So she knows exactly where her pads are and she goes and she does her business there. But if I have been away from her too long or I'm not paying her any attention, I can tell when she's like, okay, let me show you. And she does it because she wants to hear my voice and me say, Tia, naughty, bad dog, bad dog. So those are the only two things that I could say that my little Gia does.
Very interesting. Very interesting. The other thing that I've noticed, Susan, in your social media posts, most of the posts are very religious. Why following a religion is so important for you?
What I can actually say, Bala, is that when I was 5 years old, like I said earlier, my mom was a single mom of three kids. So when I was 5 years old, my other siblings were 6 and 7. My mom talked to her mom and they decided that our summers from 5 years old on for me would be spent in North Carolina. So my mom would load us up on the plane. So I really have never done car trips, so to speak, which a lot of people have done road trips and it's via a car. I've always been an airplane baby. So we get on the airplane and we get our wings when we get to the destination of North Carolina where my grandma is. Well, my grandmother was very intentional about teaching us about the love of God and Jesus Christ. And she did that through teaching us the fruits of the Spirit, but she did it in action. And then she would tell me what they were. And if you're unfamiliar with the fruits of the Spirit, they are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So each time I would activate something that was not the fruits of the Spirit, she would explain what I was doing and telling me, you need more self-control. And as I grow older, I realized that she was teaching me the Bible. And so that I was learning the principles of God. And as I got older, I found a relationship with him for myself. But it began with my grandmother, just teaching me basic things of how to treat people and how to be nice and kind to people. One of the stories was she would feed all these people. I mean, they would come into her yard around 12 noon and they would leave probably around 2. And in North Carolina, where my grandma grew up, where my grandma lived, it was picking tobacco. And so there were tobacco farms all around. Unbeknownst to me, my grandmother was one of the places that fed the tobacco pickers lunch. Mm-hmm. The boss would pay my grandmother money, because she was a very good cook, to cook for a large amount of people. And they would always come every lunch and eat out in the under the trees and everything. And I would say, why are you feeding all these people, Grandma? And she would say, well, you need to have kindness and you need to be good to people. She said, because I have 14 kids and I never know if someone needs to be good and kind to them. So that's my grandma's story and how religion plays a big part of who I am.
Which is great. Very inspirational about your grandma, Susan. I love the way you said the fruits of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Wow. That's everything. That's everything for a human being. So
yes.
I'm shifting the topic to business. So in United States, as per one of the research that I've read, 17% of the Black women are in the process of starting or running a new business. But that just compared to 10% of the white woman and 15% of white men. Despite this early lead of starting a business, only 3% of the Black women are sustaining and running a mature businesses. There could be many reasons, or they have stated many reasons for this. As a Black woman business owner, what's your opinion on this?
Well, you know, as a Black business women owner, I have a strong opinion on this. Mm-hmm. But what I can say is that necessity is the mother of invention. Mm-hmm. And Black women are naturally creative and innovative. We have used our skills and God-given talents to help our families, communities, and ourselves survive. And that goes all the way back to slavery. Black women often start businesses in areas that they really are using their skills and innovation to help. Kind of like filling a need. Others in their to help others in their community. Usually service areas, healthcare, innovative products are where you will find a lot of Black business women owners. Black women are motivated to start and grow healthy, thriving businesses and willing to do whatever it takes. However, to answer your question on the last part of your question, we continue to face the same roadblocks, access to capital, and a certain level of business coaching and mentoring, I feel is the reason why we're not able to run mature, successful businesses. But the culture is changing. And so that explains why women start more businesses, but their businesses don't grow to the scale as white men or women.
Just a follow-up question on this. If you don't want to answer, that's fine. Have you faced such issues when you started your business and when you were trying to grow your business?
Yes, I have faced issues. I face issues with being able to have people understand that I can do the job, that I can make it happen. I can produce what they're asking me to produce. And sometimes I've felt a little pushback because of the color that I am, that they feel that maybe I can't handle it. Because remember, my business is personal services. And I do events. And you don't find a lot of Black women in this particular industry because it's a very detailed industry. And I, again, contributed to how I grew up. Growing up in New Rochelle, New York. I grew up with a lot of Jewish people, so I was very familiar with their celebrations. I think when a child turns 14 or 15, they do a bar mitzvah. And I worked for a catering company that was owned by my girlfriend's aunt. And in that catering company, I learned precisely how to set up events, how to break down events, the details of events. And that was when I was 14, 15, and 16, had no idea that that would parlay into what I'm doing today in helping people. So you never know what obstacles you might come to, but you always have to make sure that you persevere and have resilience to get over that and show people what you're made of, regardless of how they already put you in a box or branded you.
Got it. I completely understand. And like the way you have a new perspective on what needs to be changed, how to overcome. That's great, Susan. Shifting to your personal leadership roles, you have held many leadership roles in Toastmasters International. How do you prepare yourself to be successful before you accept the position?
I know from an early age, I think this interview is kind of laced with that statement, that my life work is that of service. I love to help people. I love to explore the needs of people and how I can contribute to the team or to the atmosphere. I think that when we love people, going back to my religious base, God is love, and so he first loved us. So when we love people, we show love. And we love people because God loves all people. And we do our best because God asks us to do our best. And just have fun doing it. But I do lead from the inside out. By that, I mean, I take a look at goals for the assignment or task. Then I evaluate what's in my leadership toolbox. If I find that there are skills I don't have in that toolbox, I quickly staff to my weakness. When I'm building a team to support the assignment, it's important to me to build a relationship first while building a team. One of my favorite poets, Maya Angelou, once said, "I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. So I want people to feel welcome in my presence. And I think if you allow that to be how you lead, people want to hang out with you. I mean, the hangout is we're doing a project, but we're getting great results and we're having fun doing it. John Wesley, which is an evangelist back in the day, he said, do all the good you can by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. So with no fame, no name, I just want to help people.
Your grandmother has grown a beautiful granddaughter. And you rightly said, people will never forget how you made them to feel. That's a great quote. Finally, as a business owner, community leader, what advice would you give to the younger generation?
First of all, to the younger generation, I wish I had understood this in my 20s. You are building a legacy before you leave it. Surround yourself with people that are excited about you being in the room, that help you grow, that highlight your weaknesses and your good points, because you need a balance to be able to grow into the individual that you want to do or want to be. Make sure that you focus on the things that bring you happiness. I love what I do, either volunteering or getting paid for it. I love people, I love to serve people. I love to make sure people are okay so that they can get their job done. So if you, as a young person, find something that is a great passion for you and you happen to be able to make money doing it, you have found your life's work. And people, whether you want the fame or the name, they're gonna know your name. And it will bring you before kings and queens in different industries because of the excellence that you will be doing in your work. So do excellence, do it right the first time. Meet great people in the way of your journey in life and make sure you take time to enjoy your passion and do self-care. That would be my advice.
Thank you so much, Susan. I enjoyed knowing you, your mom, your family, especially your grandmother. And it's a pleasure interviewing you.
Thank you, Bala. Thank you for inviting me today. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Listeners, as Susan mentioned, people will forget what you said. People may forget what you did, but they will never forget how you made them feel. Thanks for listening and meet you all in my next podcast.